Good morning.
Welcome to our service. One or two intimations. Most of the others are on the order of service, but one or two that I'd like to highlight. The first is that office bearers are reminded that there'll be a meeting of the Kirk Session and the Congregational Board on Thursday, the 30th of January at 7:30 p.m. The other is that on Friday, Christian Aid is holding a Burns evening in the Kirk Centre from 7 until 10. The meal and entertainment tickets cost £15. Irene Patterson has the tickets, so if you see Irene after the service, you can get tickets for that. This morning, the ministers in our cluster group are all preaching in different churches. Shuna is in Holborn West, and I'm pleased to be able to welcome Keith Blackwood from Manifield, who's leading us in worship. Keith, welcome to Cults.
It's lovely to be here in Cults. The beauty of an exchange of leading worship is that you get to travel around. And I was saying to Graham that I don't think I've led worship here. I've been at meetings, I've been here for other things, of course, but not actually led worship. So it's a privilege to be here with you this morning. I bring greetings from the folks at Manifield, who are delighted to get rid of me for a Sunday and send me along the road to here at Cult. So it's great to be with you, and I look forward to getting to know you in this service and afterwards. So let us worship God. Let's sing together hymn 550, As the Deer Pants for the Water. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we gather here in your presence, together as a congregation, as a family of your people, covering different generations, here as one people, very aware that we do not gather alone. We gather with our friends across the other churches of our cluster group, meeting elsewhere. With our friends in other churches in Aberdeen and Scotland, United Kingdom and the world, and meeting importantly with you. For it is your presence that we seek this morning. Help us wait patiently for you. Incline us to your voice as it speaks to us. Draw up our hope from the longing of our heart, that your love might be cut loose in us, amongst us, and beyond us. Set our feet upon your rock and make our footsteps firm. Put a new song in our mouths, a song of praise to you, O God. And help us not to hide your saving grace away in our hearts. Instead, though our lives may be imperfect, indeed because our lives are imperfect, may many see and know that you are trustworthy, that you are faithful, that you are our joy. Through our imperfect lives, many might yet see and know that you are God for them and for the world. Gather us in as your people and hear us as we say together the words that Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning to you too. I'm Keith. I don't know if I've ever met you, have I? No? What's your names? Pardon?
Annie.
Fia. Pleased to meet you. It's great to meet you this morning. Now, I made a mess when I came in, and there's a lot of bits of paper around the church. The first bit of paper that I can see is there. What's that? What does it look like? It's a footprint. So when you see footprints, what might you do? If you see a line of footprints, do you think you would maybe follow them? That's what I would do. I don't know if you're old enough to play some video games, but quite often in the video games, if you see footprints, you're meant to follow them, aren't you? So how about we follow them and we see where they lead? Will we do that today? Will you come with me? Hopefully this microphone won't crackle as we walk around and there's no dead spots, but let's see. You lead on. So there's one, and I think they go around this way, so you follow them round. Fantastic. Hopefully they're not going to lead us out the door. That wouldn't be good. That's it. We're getting our exercise this morning. We watch we don't trip over handbags and bags and things. Where do we go now? Oh, we're going round the back of the church. This is a long walk. Oh, and there's somebody's moved this piece of paper there. See, look, I knew that would happen. Trying to... They've turned it round and everything. Oh. Trying to make us double back, so I think, oh, and there's somebody turned it upside down. What an unhelpful bunch this is here in Culks. I think it goes round this corner. Let's see, where do we go from now? We're getting, yep, we can still see some paper, footprints leading us. I wonder where these footprints are leading us. What is it that they're asking us to go and see, I wonder? So we're going round. Ah, now, do I see one going up the stairs slightly? Yeah, will we walk up the stairs? I wonder if we're getting close to the end of this trail of footprints. Ah, Annie, what does that say? It says, come and see. Well, I think that's an invitation, isn't it? That's an invitation. That's
me, somebody, asking us to come and see. What do we think we're asked to come and see? Where are the footprints leading us? What do we have here? Let's have a look at this. What does that look like? Baby Jesus. So, the first thing that we're to come and see is baby Jesus. So we've got Jesus lying in a manger with a wee sheep having a wee look at him. Luke's fast asleep, doesn't he? Nice and calm. But I wonder if that's all that we're invited to come and see. I wonder if that's enough. I wonder if it's enough just to come and see a nice baby. You know, that's nice, isn't it? I like going to see babies. Do you like going to see babies? Yeah, they're cute and they're cuddly. And not all the time. Not all the time. But they are. They're nice. They're lovely. But I wonder if that's all that there is to this. The invitation to come and see a baby in a manger. There's something else here. What's this? It's a heart. Yeah. And what does a heart remind us of? What does a heart tell us? Love. Yeah, a heart reminds us of love, doesn't it? That's the kind of sign of love. So we love babies. That's great. But I wonder if the invitation to come and see is more than just about seeing baby and get baby Jesus and getting excited about baby Jesus, like we do at Christmas, but remembering that Jesus is all about the heart, that Jesus is all about love. I think that when God says to us, come and see all about me, come and see my son Jesus, come and see all I have to offer, that God's asking us not just to kind of come and be a wee bit part of things, not just to kind of come and get excited about a wee baby Jesus, but actually to really get in to God and feel what he's all about. And God is all about what he's all about, love. God's love for you, God's love for me, God's love for everybody here, God's love for the whole world. I think God's also about how we love the world. And if we don't come and see God, if we don't come and see God's love, if we don't accept his invitation and follow his signs and follow his footprints and tracks, then we'll never get to the place where we can actually see that life is all about God's love and about how we love the world. So I would like you just to remember that for me today, Annie and Freya, that we grown-ups and older folks here, when you're going off to have some fun, we're going to be thinking about the invitation, come and see. And I think I would like you to just think about it. When God says to you, come and see, he's saying, not just come and see me as a baby Jesus, come and see my love. Feel the love I have for you, and let's go and love everybody in the world. Thank you very much for your long walk, for getting your exercise this morning, following the footprints, and it's been a real pleasure to meet you and get to know you this morning. Thank you very much. Thank you. So we're going to go back a wee bit to Advent, because the next hymn you might have sung in Advent, but it's very appropriate to what we're thinking about today. We're going to sing hymn 284, Hope is a Candle.
Thank you. Our first reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 to 7. Isaiah 49, 1 to 7. Israel, a light to the nations. Listen to me, distant nations, you people who live far away. Before I was born, the Lord chose me and appointed me to be his servant. He made my words as sharp as a sword. With his own hand, he protected me. He made me like an arrow, sharp and ready for use. He said to me, Israel, you are my servant. Because of you, people will praise me. I said, I have worked, but how hopeless it is. I have used up my strength, but have accomplished nothing. Yet I trust the Lord to defend my cause. He will reward me for what I do. Before I was born, the Lord appointed me. He made me his servant to bring back his people, to bring back the scattered people of Israel. The Lord gives me honor. He is a source of my strength. The Lord said to me, I have a greater task for you, my servant. Not only will you restore to greatness the people of Israel who have survived, but I will make you a light to the nations so that all the world may be saved. Israel's holy God and Savior says to the one who is deeply despised, who is hated by the nations, and is the servant of rulers, kings will see you released and will rise to show their respect. Princes also will see it, and they will bow low to honor you. This will happen because the Lord has chosen his servant. The holy God of Israel keeps his promises.
I have been chosen by God. Through God's work, I gained recognition. I have built up my name. I have achieved my own followers, and they have become my disciples. I have drawn people from far and wide, and they come to look up to me. However, it is not for me they came. I cannot keep hold of my disciples. Now is the time I have to let go of my success and turn people away from me. For I am the signpost, the direction and the lead, pointing people to Jesus. Look, here is the Lamb of God.
Our second reading is taken from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 27 to 42. Verses 29 to 42. Lamb of God. The next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and said, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me, but he is greater than I am, because he existed before I was born. I did not know who he would be, but I came baptizing with water in order to make him known to the people of Israel. And John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and stay on a man. I still did not know that he was the one, but God, who sent me to baptize with water, has said to me, you will see the Spirit come down and stay on a man. He is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen it, John said, and I tell you that he is the Son of God. The first disciples of Jesus. The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus walking by. There is the Lamb of God, he said. The two disciples heard him say this and went with Jesus. Jesus turned, saw them following him, and asked, what are you looking for? They answered, where do you live, Rabbi? This word means teacher. Come and see, he answered. It was then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So they went with him, saw where he lived, and spent the rest of that day with him. One of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. At once, he found his brother, Simon, and told him, "We have found the Messiah." This word means Christ. Then he took Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "Your name is Simon, the son of John, but you will be called Cephas." This is the same as Peter, and it means the rock. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. We sing together hymn 540, "I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say." Now, before I start, I'm not very good at this, but I'm going to take a selfie. So I'm going to take a selfie with you guys all at an angle and me looking ridiculous. I'll take one from this side as well. There we go. My family laugh at me because I am really the world's worst at taking selfies. I stand there and I'm doing this and I'm trying to get myself in it, and when I take it, I'm always looking like that because I'm looking at the wrong bit of the camera. I'm just awful at it. I do not like taking selfies. But one of the phenomena of our modern world is the selfie. Everywhere you go, anywhere of any real significance, you see all the phones pulled out. And you see people taking selfies. And the strange thing for me is that sometimes you're standing there and you're thinking, if only they would turn round, because all the excitement's behind them. They're standing there with their phone, taking a photograph of themselves. In actual fact, they're missing. They might catch something, but all the action is behind. And I was in, when I was writing the notes for today's Spill the Beans material, that I know that Shuna is part of as well, and I think I was writing them in the summer, and I was very conscious of a holiday that we'd had just a few weeks prior to Rhodes. And I remember standing there at a fountain in the middle of the old town, and it was fantastic, it was beautiful. And I was sitting with an ice cream on the steps, and I was just thinking what a wonderful history and what a wonderful feeling around this fountain in the old town. And yet everybody that was there, off all the cruise ships in Rhodes Town, they were all standing with their back to it, taking a selfie. When you see these selfies getting taken in front of a historical attraction, I wonder, do we engage with what is behind us? Do we truly engage with what it is that we're seeing? Allowing ourselves to be consumed by the history or the spirit or the moment instead of fiddling about with our phones trying to get a focus. In today's world, I wonder if we happened upon Jesus, would the first thing that we would do is to get our phone out and to take a selfie of us with Jesus in the background so that we could share it on Facebook or Twitter saying, I was there. Guess who I met? But in that situation, could we honestly say that we met Jesus? How often do we allow ourselves to be caught up, really caught up in the special moments when we can be touched and transformed as we have engagement with something outside of ourselves, outside of the norm? Do we allow ourselves in our modern society and in the hectic pace of your life, my life, do we allow ourselves what we might call soul space? Do we live life very much at the superficial level, where we just like to kind of rub up against something so we can say we was there? Or do we make enough space to really engage with the moment? You've probably gathered I'm not a camera person. And as I was thinking about this, I recall hating when my wife used to say to me, Keith, could you get the camera out? This is important that we capture the boys opening their Christmas presents, or could you be in charge of the camera at the school show? And I hated it because I always felt that I was the one not really engaging with what was happening because I was looking at it through a lens, worried about, will this come out? Will I get this? What will I do with these photographs? Will I be able to save it? And realise the event was past, and I didn't really feel part of what was going on. I think there is something very significant about the tone of our passage today from the Gospel. It takes the trouble to emphasise that the disciples remained a while with Jesus, having been invited by him to come and see. I think the important part of what follows are the words, they stayed a while. This is about presence, about God being in the present, being in the presence of God. The disciples' experience of Jesus and the divine was made possible because interaction was not something fleeting. It wasn't just something that was sort of slotted in to a wee bit of space that we had, but it was an experience that lasted long enough and was intimate enough for some infusion of the divine, of God's Spirit, of Jesus, his personality, his character, to enter them as they stayed a while with him. Now, we live in challenging times as a church here in Aberdeen Presbytery, not escaping that. And we, of course, are in discussions, our churches, your church, my church, other churches in our cluster area, about what the future might look like. The presbytery plan. Oh, that's a dreaded phrase, isn't it? We know about the statistics. We know about declining membership, attendance. We know about the lack of younger people, younger families coming to church. But you know, sometimes we forget the positives. I don't know about you, but I have to say, and I have been thinking a lot about where I'm at spiritually on my spiritual journey in the church and in the walk of faith. And I have to say that many of my experiences of church today, what I'm offered by the church today, I think affect my life in a much more stronger way than experiences of church in the past. I grew up in a packed church. It was a very busy Lanarkshire church, the biggest in the presbytery. Every Sunday there were hundreds there, 300-400 maybe. I think in the Sunday school there were at least 100-150. The boys' brigade was 100. But as I look back at that time, as I look back at going to church every Sunday, I think there was a particular formula about how church was done. In fact, how church was expected to be done. And now I realise, I look back at that and I wonder if actually I was more part of an audience to what was going on than actually part of it intimately. Was I more almost going in church to church in those days as part of a show? Worship was done in front of me. It was done around me. It was great, the great speakers, the great style, I don't robe anymore, the robes, the grandeur of it. You know, these are special moments, I'm not denying that. But I sometimes wonder now, was worship getting done within me? I'm not just trying to be a half glass full type person today. But I do feel that we in the church, in our challenging times, in the times that we're living through with presbytery planning, etc., that we do need to remember the positives of how we do church today, how church is done today, how we, I think, create more of an opportunity to allow people an intimate experience of fellowship with one another, of growing faith, connecting with each other, connecting with God. There is intimacy in these encounters that we are reading of this morning, in these encounters with Jesus and his early followers. And I just wonder if for a time in our church, if numbers dictated that we didn't need to actually create the opportunity for real intimacy. The time was about an event-style worship with the trappings of tradition and everything else. In our changing church today, maybe we need to make an effort not to forget that there are positives happening in your congregation, my congregation, other congregations, that we are being transformed by the invitation to come and see, to be part of a community of worship here in Cults. When we respond to the invitation to come and see as we grow relationships, real growth in relationships with each other, as we get to know each other, as we get to know what makes people tick, as we get to perhaps feel and sense the challenges that these people are going through. Jesus directly addresses his two disciples. What do you seek? And he invites them to, well, come and see. They hang out with him for a while. In the Greek, it's abide. And that's a wonderful single word, abide. Because it doesn't just mean going along and being near or in the vicinity of or at the side of. Abide means truly engaging, being in the moment. And it's that that allows for them to have an intimate encounter with Jesus, which results in a change, a transformation of their soul, such that their faith is no longer derivative of what they're told about by someone else, but now they're able to say, I feel it. I followed the footprints. I responded to the invitation to come and see. I arrived and I had an intimate moment with the divine. And I am from that moment transformed. And this pattern is repeated time and time again in the Gospel of John. Invitation to come and see. People accept. They go and see. They stay a while. They have an intimate encounter. They're transformed. And they go and invite others to come and see. Andrew testifies that Jesus is the Messiah. He invites his brother Simon to come and see. Have an encounter for himself. An intimate encounter occurs. Simon follows. Philip becomes a follower. He immediately testifies to Nathanael, using the same words as Jesus did, saying, come and see. The Samaritan woman does the same thing in chapter 4 of this gospel. She hangs out with Jesus at the well. She engages with him. She identifies with who he is. She is flooded by eternal life. And she goes on to testify to her friends, to fellow Samaritans, saying, come and see. They do come. They hang out with Jesus. They have a direct revelation of Jesus himself. And so it's no longer because of what someone else told them about their experience. It's now because they have experienced it for themselves, as the eternal spirit floods into them. I think in our churches today, we are all about giving people the chance to an experience of intimacy with God. And are we succeeding? Well, I think we are. I think we definitely are, and I think that's something to be positive about in these times. We might not have 100 in our Sunday school, but as an example, I am a school chaplain, your minister's a school chaplain, so every Wednesday I go and have 30 minutes with a class of 30 children. And I share with them a story or a moral or ethical teaching from the Bible. And in that moment, as they come and see, in that 30 minutes of pure engagement, not the kind of token engagement of going colour in that wee picture of Jesus meeting his disciples that I remember doing in my Sunday school class, but real engagement with the issues. That's how we as the church are giving people a chance to come and see what God means for themselves. As we move away perhaps from that singular sense of worship being at 10 or half 10 or 11 on a Sunday morning, towards the legitimacy of midweek services, to life groups, to breakfast churches, to messy churches, it strikes me is that we are opening out the opportunity people have to have an intimate moment with God. Creating opportunities, that surely is what the church is about today. And I think, friends, it is something that we as the church cannot afford not to be doing. We cannot fail to give people a chance to have an encounter with their God. We must not be superficial in our faith, our church, our prayer life. I started off by taking a selfie. Whether or not that selfie comes out or not, I have no idea. I really don't know. I'll look back in it and think, oh, I missed it. I'm not even in that selfie. I missed it. And selfies are good. But God needs us to be wary of turning our back on the true experiences of life and of church and of faith that matter. Don't let it all happen in the background. Don't let it happen only for other people. Instead, we must encourage people to exist in the moments that God provides, to truly live in the moment, to feel in that moment, to have an intimacy of personal encounter with God in that moment. And I can guarantee that's when our souls are transformed. That's when we feel truly in the presence of God. And the encouragement is for us to have that for ourselves and then to go and invite others to come and see, abide for a while with God, hang out with him. Guaranteed, lives will be transformed. Amen. And may God bless to us the preaching of his holy word. Let our offering be uplifted.
Let us pray. Lord, on our journey from the manger to the cross, from the cradle to the grave, lift us from darkness. Unstick and reshape our expectations from isolation to community, from scarcity to abundance, from death to life. May these gifts and the gifts that we give to you, God, in other ways and at other times, may these gifts be the sign of our response to all that you do for us. Bring us into a greater awareness of who you are. As you invite us to come and see, may we be ready to accept that invitation, to follow your signs, that we might meet you, truly meet you where you are, know you as love, feel your love, and be transformed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We sing hymn 467. All my days I will sing the song of gladness. Let us pray.
Lord, wash and renew us with the waters of your Spirit, so as to strip away our love of power, that we might know the power of your love. Blur our outward vanity to see again within the reflection of your inner beauty. Send us out in your love and plant us firmly in your grace. May we remember that to invite others to come and see, we must first come alongside them where they are at. Help us come alongside others, not to change, not to control, but to love as you love us all. Challenge us, God, that we might be willing to come and see what you are already doing in those locations around our society and world, in our schools, in our factories and offices, in our city centres, in our small communities. Help us see you in action. And help us in particular see those people that sometimes we think we dare not touch. Help us open the doors that sometimes we think, well, we can't open that door. Lord, you've gone ahead of us. You are there with all people, even as you are above us and beneath us and within us. Your Son reminds us that to come alongside others is to come and see where you are. Help us know that that journey is never in vain, because where we end up is in a place where intimacy with our fellow humanity, a genuine encounter with them in their challenge and struggles, is also an encounter with you. That is where we find you and your love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's sing as our closing hymn, hymn 175, Praise, I Will Praise You, Lord.
Thank you. now go out into the world to find your encounter with God, to know an intimacy with the divine, to be full of the energy of His Spirit and be transformed in knowing His love. And may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with you and with all whom you love, today and forevermore.